The scripture this evening will be coming from the book of Jeremiah. The chapter is 13. The verses will be 20 through 24. Jeremiah 13, verses 20 through 24. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Lift up your eyes and see who's come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you, you beautiful sheep? What will you say when he punishes you? For you have taught them to be chieftains, to be head over you. Will not pain seize you like a woman in labor? And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? For the greatest of your iniquity, your skirts have been uncovered, your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good, who are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them like stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness.
The title of our sermon tonight is Change is Difficult. It's actually the next slide, so you'll see that there. But while we're here reading these verses, we might draw the conclusion that change is impossible. For Jehovah asked a couple of questions of Judah with regards to their behavior toward him and toward righteousness. Down in verse number 23, the questions are asked, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Well, the answer to that is no. Ethiopians can't change their skin. The second question is, or the leopard his spots? It's the same answer. No. So when you read the rest of the verse, the Lord then actually says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. I said this morning, we talk about the fact that change is difficult. This gives you some insight. The children of God had gone so far into wickedness that it almost appears to be impossible for them to turn this thing around. In fact, it's likened to things that are impossible. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The leopard can't change his spots. Well, then you have a shot of doing good, who are accustomed to do evil. As God looks at his people, he has concluded there is no way back for these people. Now again, it's not an ultimate expression that they can't come back, for in this same book, God continues to plead. Remember, we read this morning, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16, where God says, stands in the way and see and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And they said, we will not. And so God is really commenting on the perpetual attitude and actions of his people who have refused to turn. I simply point out it's difficult, in fact, so much so that here it's likened to things that are actually impossible. It's possible to change, but I do want us to appreciate it is difficult. We'll talk again about four reasons why that is the case. Why it's difficult to change. Now again, I want to reiterate what we said this morning. It's possible. People have done it. In fact, you can absolutely do it. But sometimes people overestimate the ease of change. Or they tell themselves, I can if I want to. And with a wave of a hand almost, they believe they can just turn it on and turn it off. And it's just not so. Change is difficult because of what it requires of you. We'll note this evening four reasons why it's difficult. Again, not impossible. Difficult. So that you and I don't set ourselves up for failure as we move forward into 2018, we need to know these four things, and we could probably add a few more to the list. Let me suggest the first thing, at least from my position and perspective, that make it difficult to change. Number one would be this. It's simply easier not to. It's just easier not to do it. One of the things that makes it hard to change is it's just easier not to. And typically, people prefer easy than hard. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Note the difference between the many and the few. The wide and the narrow. There are those which simply go in. They are taking the road of least resistance. In fact, that's typically how people, I don't mean any particular kind of people, just humans. It's just the way we operate. We would just prefer less friction, less adversity, less hardship. We just prefer things to roll along easy. And since that's the easy path, sometimes adults, older people, get down on young people. Well, young people are simply the same in this regard as old people. Old people don't wake up in the morning asking for life to be hard. Old people don't wake up in the morning asking for challenge. Old people prefer things to just go as well as they can keep on going. Listen, the less restriction we have, the better. One of the things that makes it hard to change is it's just easier not to. And if you have a choice in the morning, you try it when you wake up. Put two things in your hand. Say in this hand, I want hard, and in this hand, I want easy. Which one are you going to pick? There's a reason people don't give themselves challenges. Now, why would I do that? Why would I want to run? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to lift weights? Now, what would make me want to lay down and put weight over top of my body and push up? What would make me want to do that? I'd just rather not. It'd be just easier not to. We talked in Acts chapter 2 about 3,000 souls changing because it's possible. You can go from murdering the Savior to becoming his disciple. You can, and 3,000 people did. Question, how many didn't? The estimates I've read from those in Jerusalem on that feast day reach close to the millions. 18 or 19 different nations are represented there. Jews from all over the world are in Jerusalem, and many hear that. Multitudes hear that sermon. While 3,000 is a great conversion account, it's a small number compared to the many that did not. By Acts chapter 5, another 5,000 did, but most didn't. Negative changes. Some people just think, well, I'll get around to it. It'll just happen naturally. It won't. Change just won't happen naturally. Let me tell you what happens naturally. It's called deterioration. Now, that happens naturally. If you just leave things alone, build you a nice, beautiful house out in the middle of acreage and just leave it for 20 years and then go back and visit, it will change, but it'll deteriorate. No, willful change, positive change, change that improves, that's willful. That's not natural. Somebody has to have it in their mind to go in there and fix and improve. Somebody has to keep up the maintenance. Somebody has to do something. That's positive. No, that's not natural. And so change is difficult because it's just easier not to exert the energy to do it. I don't know who invented the phrase couch potato, but what does that mean? You surely don't equate a runner and a sprinter and a weightlifter and a neck not with a couch potato. There's differences between these two people. Most people did not obey the gospel in the first century world. Most people didn't. You have all of these conversion accounts in the book of Acts, but most people didn't obey the gospel. Most people will simply keep going the broad way, which leads to destruction. And few there be that will find the way. Why is it difficult? It's just easier not to do it. Number two, It's difficult because habits create character. You read the New Testament and you are so impressed and saddened by our Lord's interaction with the Pharisees. At some point, you just shake your head and you, what would it have taken for him to do more? What could he have said? What could he have done? And I will submit to you, the answer is nothing. There's nothing more he could have done. Their characters were set because of the habits they had done. Jesus said unto them, this is a conversation in John chapter 8. I say conversation being nice. It's actually a very back and forward, sharp interchange between the Pharisees and Jesus, or some of the Jews and Jesus. And Jesus says, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then the Lord asked this, almost perplexed by the interchange and the life and the varied number of times they've had conversations. His question is, why do ye not understand my speech? What is it that I'm saying that you can't grasp? Why don't you get it? Because you can't hear my word. Well, that's strange. Helps us understand that this idea of understanding and hearing has within it the concept not just of the physical ability to hear sound audibly, but actually the understanding, processing of the information and thinking about it correctly. Why can't you hear me? Why can't you understand? Jesus then says, almost with one of those, oh, that's all right, I understand. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, you will do. You see, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You read Matthew chapter 23, you hear our Lord talk to these men, and what you hear is their religion was a farce. It wasn't true religion. It was hypocritical. They would bind burdens upon men they wouldn't lift. They would do things to seek the praises of men. They'd rob widows' houses and then for pretense make a long prayer. Why can't they hear him? Because their habits had formed their character. These are individuals who saw miracles. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 25. Jesus cast out a demon and they said, well, he only does that by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. He's only doing that. This is when Jesus says, almost again, a house divided against itself can't stand. If I'm working with Satan, why would I be casting out the demons? These are the individuals who lied and murdered and false witness and hired people. The same individuals heard the gospel, Acts chapter 5 and verse 33, and when they heard it, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. In Acts chapter 13, the apostle Paul said, he said, your behavior presently is of such a nature that you wouldn't believe, even if you read Acts chapter 13, the apostle Paul is preaching to the Jews, and on this occasion he says, I want you to beware, be aware, be concerned about this situation. A person could be telling you where you are, who you are, and what's going to happen to you. And right in the face of hearing it, he said, you wouldn't believe it, even if a man told it to you. Later in that chapter, in verse 46, he says, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. And so, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What happens over time to us is we become our habits. Our habits become who we are. So much so that it's hard to separate what we do from who we actually are. And we become the thing in we get labeled for doing a particular course. So much so We could sit in the assembly for 20 years, never respond to the gospel. We could take down and do something so long that it doesn't matter what's being said or who is saying it. We simply will not change. Our habits are going to create and form our character over time, and it becomes very hard to change when that occurs. Number three, in light of that and connected to that, it's hard to change because you could believe you're right. Proverbs 16:25 is, I'm going to use the word sobering, then I'll add very quickly, scary. It's a scary passage. The Bible says there is a way unto man that seemeth right. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now you think about that for just a moment. You are going down a road because your character has been shaped by the things that you have just repeatedly done. So much so that that's not who you are. And you are on that road and you actually believe you're right. It seems right to you. But the end of that thing is the way of death. We studied a book some time ago. We should probably study it again to be reminded. It was entitled Leadership and Self-Deception. And certainly the book and the content spoke to this very idea. You could be self-deceived. You could believe you're doing it right. You could believe you're heading in the right direction, that your position is right, that your thoughts are right, that your actions are right. And actually, you could be the problem. We read about a doctor, Dr. Semmelweis, the doctor who, in the end, discovered germs. But prior to that discovery, doctor helped kill a lot of women in delivery. Because he taught and worked on cadavers and then came to the hospital and delivered babies. Later in his life, he said, I wonder how many women I sent to the grave. He was actually trying to solve the problem, and what he discovered was he was the problem. Why is it hard to change? You could believe you actually are in no need of it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Go back a slide. Why is it so important that when you and I hear the truth, we respond properly to the truth? Because habits form character. And if your habit is, I'm not interested in the truth, I'm interested in me. If your habit is, I'm not interested in being corrected, I'm interested in doing what I want to do. If your habit is, I don't want to hear what you're talking about, I only want to do what I want to do, and I know, and I know, and I know, then you might not love the truth. And what that might set you up for is this thing. You might believe, it might seem right to you, but the end of it is the way of death. You are convinced. You know the way you are going. Jeremiah would say otherwise. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not within himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. Well, see, that's another reason. You might actually believe you know. Maybe we all do it when we're young. Hopefully we grow out of it. But children go from me and my when they're very young, and they learn to speak some of those first words as mine and me, and give it to me, and I want it. Maybe they learn that, but eventually they get to be teenagers, and maybe somewhere in there they began to, now that they've acquired some knowledge, they began to say things like, I know. You try to correct. You say, I know. Well, but don't do it that way. I know. Well, all I want to say, well, I know. No, you don't know. But you could believe you do. You are, and you could be, convinced that the person or persons telling you to change are actually the ones in need of changing. You see, when it seems right to you, you could actually think, well, you're the one that's the problem. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 and 18, after Elijah had been away for a while because of the drought, he appears to Obadiah, and he tells Obadiah, tell Ahab I'm here. And Obadiah eventually is convinced that he'll stay put. And he tells Ahab that Elijah is here and he can meet him. And when the two meet, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 and 18, Ahab says to Elijah, is that you, the troubler of Israel? I just fall out almost every time I read that, because if you go back to chapter 16 and read what the Bible says about Ahab, it says, paraphrasing, he was probably the worst king Israel ever had. I mean, that's paraphrasing, but close. That nobody had done worse than him, that he had added sin upon sin, and he'd done the stuff of Jeroboam, but then he went and married Bathsheba and brought her, not Bathsheba, Jezebel, brought her in and made things worse. And then he meets Elijah and he says, you're the troubler of Israel. Elijah says, no, I'm not the troubler of Israel, but you are. You ever got into a conversation with somebody who needs to change and you say, well, you need to do it? They say, no, I don't, but you do. What is it that makes it difficult? You see, you could actually believe you're right. It seems right. And so you press forward. No need to change here. Because it seems right, feels right. Add this thought to it. You could be traveling that road with a clear conscience. That is, since you believe it's right, you do it. And therefore, your conscience never pricks you. Your conscience never tells you to turn around. Your conscience never bothers you. Because I'm doing this with a clear conscience. Some people say that. God knows my heart. I'm doing what I believe is right. You could absolutely have a clear conscience. Acts 23:1, Paul did. Men and brethren, he says, I stand before you. I stand before God with, I've had a good conscience. I've had a clear conscience up to this very day. That same man with that clear conscience will later say, Acts 26:9, I thought that I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I did. That same man with a clear conscience will say of his life later, he will say, who was before a blasphemer and injurious and a persecutor, but I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 following. While he had a clear conscience, it seemed right to him. He was absolutely going the wrong way. Why does it seem hard, or why is it hard to change? Number one, just easier not to. Change is going to require something. It's going to require some effort, and that effort will probably be tough. Just easier not to. Why is it hard to change? Well, you've been doing this for so long, character is kind of shaped now. Habits form characters, and over time, that's just who I am. In fact, some people say that. Oh, child, that's just the way I am. You're just going to understand, that's just me. And what you're going to have to do is adjust to that, because I ain't changing. That's just who I am. Well, yeah. Character is shaped, your habits have made you, and that's who you are, and there's no change on the horizon. And then number three, well, you could believe you're right. There's a way that seems right to you, and you are pressing forward full speed ahead. Finally, this change is difficult because your community doesn't want you to change. Peter, talking about the saints' lives before, says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us. And Peter looks back on the lives of the saints. He says, listen, it may have sufficed in the past for us to live a particular way. And we did. He says to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we, like them, walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Listen, that's the way we used to live. We live just like they did. Paul says the same thing, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Peter says the same thing here. But now that community out of which they had come, Peter says this, wherein they, the ones you used to run with in that excess of riot, the ones you used to walk in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and reveling, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Why is change difficult? Because friends, family, and associates have a vested interest in you staying as you are. They have a benefit that they reap from the present you, and they don't want to lose that. And they will fight tooth and nail and do whatever it takes to keep you as you are. You can have it in your mind, I want to change. But you didn't know. People around you don't want that for you. People around you can't afford for you to change. There's several reasons why in their minds they can't afford it. Among them are these. Number one, if you change, it will expose their deeds. They'll have to confront now what they're doing. Because I used to, but I don't anymore. Well, what does that say about me? And then they say things like this. So you think you're... Hello? What do they say? Oh, you think you're... Think you're better than me now. You're not better than me. Well, I never said I was better. You know, it just don't matter what you change here. If you're in a community where people are not fiscally responsible, if you're in that kind of community, oftentimes people don't want you to become that. Oh, so you think you got more money than everybody else? That makes you better? No. No, I just want to try to save a few dollars. All I want to do, I just want to try to save something. I want to get it. Oh, you just better than everybody. Got you a new job and you think you just better than, you look down your nose. Well, no. No, I'm not saying that. If you change, it'll affect the relationship that you have with them. You don't show up and do the same things that we used to do. Y'all going out Friday? Y'all going out Saturday? No, I'm not coming. Well, where are you going to be? I'm going to be getting my clothes out for Sunday. Well, where are you going Sunday? I'm going to worship. So you're not coming with us Saturday because you're going to worship. Well, those people up there, bunch of hypocrites anyway. And if you want to go be with it, it's going to affect the relationship. But then if you change, you might do the unthinkable. You might ask them to change. You might bring your light into their world and say, hey, friend, why don't you come up? You ever try changing your house? Listen, I mean this even among good families, Christian homes, where people are all trying to do right. I ain't talking about immoral stuff. I mean, you just try to change something at the house. Have you tried it? Well, I ain't going to be watching too much television no more. I just want to spend more time reading about... Oh, is that what you're going to do? I'm going to try this January thing. I'm all in. I'm committed. Well, listen, I ain't... That can't happen. Well, I ain't going to be eating desserts and cakes like I used to. Mm-mm. You should taste this. Woo, this is the best tasting dessert I have. You want some? No, I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying not to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The truth of the matter is, you may have to let some people go if you want to change. If you want to change, you may have to let some friends go, because if you keep hanging with the same people doing the same things, you'll keep getting the same results, and there'll be no change for the better in that. It might be the case that you have to understand, I'm going this way and trying to go this way, and y'all are going this way and y'all are going that way, and I don't want to do it anymore. Well, we just can't be friends. Well, that's exactly what light does. Separates from darkness. It's going to be real difficult to change if you spend your time and your community is full of complainers and people who are negative and people who can't. If that's your community, you need to change your community. The community that you in, wake up, I can't. You find yourself with a group of people and all y'all do is sit around and complain of what's wrong in the world and complain why we can't and complain why they're lucky and complain why it shouldn't be and complain about this, that, and that's all that's done. Listen, you'll be there for another year doing nothing. There is a new community you need, and that community can be found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, here are the people you need to be around. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the people in verse 13 where Paul says, I can do all things. That's those people. Your community needs to be positive people, spiritual people who can because the Lord has. That needs to be the group of people. You know what those people will do? They'll encourage you to change for the better. If you're in that kind of group and you tell those people, you know what? I've been living paycheck to paycheck, but this year I'm making some changes, getting out of debt, shifting some things and letting go and not going to shut. You know what those people will say? God bless you. We'll help you. How can I get in that? Positive spiritual people will be with you. You know what? I've been out. I've just been in these streets so much and so long. I'm just ready to come home. You know what those people will say? Friend, come home. I used to be in those streets too. Man, it ain't no good out there. I used to be just, come on, let me. That's what those people will say. Let me ask you this. As you move forward into 2018, what's your community saying? The people you hang around with, what are they doing? Are they changing for the better? And what kind of encouragement are they giving you? It is so hard when you're the one trying to pull 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 other people along to change. Eventually, they'll pull you back. You'll get tired. You'll get worn out. You'll give up, and you won't change. I submit to you, friends, I believe in change. I believe it's possible. But you and I should know it's difficult. We looked at four reasons tonight. I assure you we could array a far greater list than four. I want to encourage you to change. That will be done because you willfully do something different and willing to exert the energy and the effort. May just have to change your community to do it. Not a Christian, become one. There is simply no greater life. These next two sermons will talk about some things relative to change and how it's done, and look at some examples in the New Testament and what it takes really some of the things we're working on with regards to that is it appears there has to be a confrontation. There has to be a moment of intersection of some new information and a willing heart, a host of other things that help us turn the page and turn our direction. It's just not going to happen because you wake up and desire it. That's just not going to happen. Bible's never been read by anybody who set a Bible on their desk and wanted to real hard. Hello? Nobody's ever lost weight because they wanted to. Nobody's ever accomplished much simply because they desired it. That's not how it works. You got to move from that. Become a Christian, friends. There is simply no greater life to live than to be a child of God. If you haven't made that decision, make it tonight. Make it before it's too late. People are going into eternity every day. Somebody's going there tonight. Friends, it could be you. Don't go without Jesus. Do not enter eternity without the blood of Jesus cleansing your sins. Believe he is the Son of God and repent. Confess his name and be immersed, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Rise and walk in this newness of life. Let the Savior save you before it's eternally too late. If you are his, friends, we can. Family, we can. It's hard, but we can. May God bless us to take up the challenge and change wherein is necessary. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.